Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Alaska House of Representatives' version of the state operating budget passed Monday includes $19 million more for the University of Alaska than the governor requested. KTOO reports that at a forum in Juneau yesterday, UA President Jim Johnson expressed gratitude and hope that the Senate will follow suit.
I can't control that process, certainly, but what I can do is continue every single day advocating for the interests of the university, but always setting those in the context of the interests of the state.
The university's annual budget has declined by more than $60 million since 2014, and in 2016, Johnson put forward the Strategic Pathways Plan for cuts, consolidations, and efficiencies.
I think that the tough decisions the regents have made, the university has made, has gone a long way in persuading legislators that now is the time to stop the cuts and to actually start investing back into higher education for the state.
Johnson says the final phase of Strategic Pathways is being implemented across UA campuses. Governor Bill Walker is asking the state legislature to take $10 million he originally wanted to spend exploring for oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and put it toward other priorities. Alaska Public Media reports that Walker sent a letter to the co-chairs of the House and Senate Finance Committees asking them to redirect more than $8.3 million toward a statewide 911 system. Walker also wants to split $1.5 million between the Department of Revenue and the Department of Natural Resources for work on the Alaska LNG project. Congress opened the refuge to oil development in December, but there is not a lot of information about how much is actually there. In the letter, Walker says the funds are not needed for seismic exploration in the refuge right now. Both the House and Senate will have to approve the budget before money can be spent. The killing of 10 wolves by a single hunter north of the Denali Highway has raised new calls for protection of the animals in the Denali National Park region. Photos of an unidentified hunter with an AR-style rifle and snow machine surrounded by 10 wolf carcasses have circulated online. State Division of Wildlife Conservation Director Bruce Dale says the state was alerted to the February kill, which occurred 70 miles east of the park, where the wolf hunting bag limit is 10.
All laws were complied with as far as the troopers were concerned.
I think the majority of Alaskans will find this sort of thing reprehensible.
Biologist and wildlife advocate Rick Steiner says the mass killing of wolves and other predators has no place in modern Alaska.
But at very least, this shouldn't be permitted anywhere near Denali National Park.
Some online comments applaud the wolf kill as a benefit to moose and caribou, and the state's Dale defends the high bag limit for wolves, citing the species' resiliency.
A pack of six can double in size with a single litter.
Dale says kills by other wolves or people disrupt packs, but also result in dispersal that leads to formation of new family groups. The 10 wolf kill occurred far from an area along Denali's northeastern boundary. Acreage Steiner last week successfully petitioned the state to close two wolf harvests by emergency order due to an above-average take this season. The Fairbanks North Star Borough will have to impose tougher measures to reduce fine particulate pollution. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, the new measures rolled out at a meeting last night will affect more than those who burn wood for heat.
Regulators with the State Department of Environmental Conservation's Air Quality Division delivered a sobering message in Tuesday's meeting at the Borough Assembly's chambers.
Unfortunately, to some extent, we're not here as the bearer of good news tonight.
Air Quality Division Director Denise Koch said she and the panel of air quality experts requested the meeting to explain a set of documents they'd produced that lay out the measures needed to reduce the area's air pollution so that it won't harm human health and will bring the borough back into compliance with federal air quality standards.
This is a preliminary draft. We are showing you documents because we want you to see our early thinking. We need your input.
The panelists focused much of their presentation on 14 proposed measures that are more stringent than the borough's existing efforts, which have mainly focused on homes with wood stoves. They said federal law requires more stringent measures because the borough had failed to reduce PM2.5 around Fairbanks and North Pole sufficiently, so the Environmental Protection Agency last year redesignated it as a serious non-attainment area and required the state to develop a plan to include such measures as mandatory use of ultra-low sulfur heating oil, or ULSD.
And ULSD is being looked at across the community wholesale.
Program manager Cindy Heil says DEC estimates ultra-low sulfur heating oil would cost 34 to 43 cents a gallon more than number one or number two heating oil. But ULSD greatly reduces sulfur emissions, says Bob Dulla, who was contracted by DEC for the analysis.
It's a very, very significant reduction and provides a very real benefit.
Heil says the state implementation plan that DEC is compiling also will likely require reducing emissions of sulfur dioxide because the chemical compound can combine with other substances in the atmosphere and form PM2.5. So she says DEC proposes to require owners of so-called point sources of emissions, mainly power plants, to install a total of $54 million worth of additional pollution control technology.
There are other control measures on the point sources for sulfur that have higher efficiency rates. But if, as you can see, one is 103 million and the other is 160 million.
Heil and others emphasize that they've tried to balance the costs of the measures they're proposing in the state implementation plan against the benefits. But she and the other panelists warned there's no guarantee that EPA won't require more stringent measures that, for example, could include the more efficient power plant emissions control technologies. On the other hand, as Dulla says, they're all aware that at some point, at least some residents may decide they can't afford to pay the cost of cleaner air.
Well, everybody knows that if the price goes up, you're going to use less of it, or you're going to search for alternatives. And in this case, the search for alternatives turns out to be really important because one of the most likely candidates is an alternative is burning more wood.
Other assembly members and officials at the meeting raised other concerns, such as how higher fuel oil prices will affect the Interior Gas Utility's efforts to encourage conversion to natural gas. But by the end of the meeting, most appeared ready to get to work on ordinances that would implement DEC's proposed measures. Borough Mayor Carl Castle says he'll begin by immediately forming a stakeholders group to include residents and representatives of businesses that would be affected by the new regs, such as Golden Valley Electric Association.
This is a community-wide problem, and everybody in the Fairbanks North Star borough is going to be impacted by this. It's an issue that doesn't have an easy solution, and any of the solutions are going to involve the entire community to get there.
Koch, the Air Quality Division Director, says she and the other panelists will meet today with some of those stakeholders, including some from Golden Valley. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
It's still very wintry in interior Alaska, but normal preparations for wildfire season are underway. State and federal agencies that fight fire are bringing on staff and conducting training. BLM Alaska Fire Service spokeswoman Beth Ibsen says smoke jumpers are set to start practice jumps this week.
As early as Thursday, they're going to be jumping in the areas near Birch Hill and Fort Wainwright, the Chena River Lakes Flood Control Project, out on Chena Springs Road about mile 2.8, and Nordell Road just north of the Chena River Bridge.
Ibsen says a deep snowpack in Fairbanks and some other areas of the interior will likely delay the start of wildfire season, but points to other regions of the state, including Kodiak Island and portions of the Kenai, that are already snow-free and potentially fire-ripe. She says a small wildland fire was put out on the Kenai Monday. I'm Dan Bross.